Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're in the ninth session here on Paths of Society, and society is made up of people. You're a people. I'm a people. We're all people. We're all individuals. We're all sons of Adam, Adama, made of living clay, breathing in and breathing out. We are made in the image of God, but we are being remade by sin, by error, by going the wrong way into something less than what we should be. Christ came back to show us that we had turned the wrong way and taught us another way, the way of righteousness. And we are to be seeking that kingdom, that right to be ruled by God and His righteousness. Most people have gone the other way. They've gone out of the way of Christ. They still profess Christ with their lips, but they're not professing Him with their hands and with their heart. Now, they have elements of the truth, but we are distracted and led in different directions. We think we know the truth, but like Mark Twain said, it's not so much what you know, but what you absolutely know for sure that just ain't so, that gets you into trouble. And there's a lot about Christ and about the Bible that just ain't so, and it's not because the Bible is wrong. It's because we don't understand what it's telling us, and one of the reasons we don't understand what it's telling us is we don't know the meaning of words, we don't know history, and we have lots of people distracting us away from the truth. Now, how do you know what I am telling you is true? How do you know what you already know is true? And we talked about cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. But how do you know what you think is right? How do you know you have not been deceived? Has not all man's troubles come from the fact that he is vulnerable to deception? He can be deceived. I know many of you hearts out there would be in the right place and be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you are not going the way of the Holy Spirit. You're going the opposite way. You need to repent, turn around, and come back. Can what you do change you? No. What you do or try to do will show you that you have not yet been changed. A lot of people think they've been saved. They think they've been changed. They think they're all new person. But are they really a new person in Christ? Or are they a new person in an idea that they have accepted, that they literally worship the idea that they are saved and not really the spirit of He who saves us all, which is the Spirit of God, made manifest in the world, in the flesh? But is it manifested in us? How do we know? Our fruits. By our fruits we shall know. What is the fruit of your society? Is your society in debt? Is your society in bondage? Is your society becoming more and more decadent? Are your children becoming better and better, or worse and worse, less respectful? The Bible talks about this. If you go the wrong way, all these things are going to happen. Do your governments have more and more power, and you have less and less power and right to choose over your life and what you do and who you help and who you don't help? Just go read Samuel 8 and tell me if that describes the world that you live in, the world that you have chosen for yourselves, the world that you've been born in, whether you chose it or not. And then try to tell me whether or not you haven't, as a society, rejected God. What are you doing in your society that would lead you to a place where people will take and take and take and take and make their instruments of war, etc., etc.? Is God going to hear you when you cry out? God is the same yesterday as He is today. Are you going the way of the ancients who did not follow in the ways of God, or are you going the way of the ancients who followed in the ways of God? And if you are going in the ways that followed the ways of God, why are you not bearing better fruit than what you are bearing now? It's because they have not shown you the way. They have not shown you the path. And the path is really very simple. You have to love your neighbor as yourself, and that's the way your society is bound together no other way. No covenants, contracts, or constitution should bind you together, but they have. How do you get back? We know how you got to where you are. If you read our books that are free online, you will see how you got to where you are by making many covenants with the gods where you go and where you live and where you dwell. You have been individually conquered by your own covetousness, by your own desire, by your own apathy and avarice. How do you get back? You have to be changed. And how can you be changed if you don't want to change? You have to want to change. You have to pray to be changed. And you have to fast from the way that you have been going. You can't keep eating at the table of rulers without putting a knife to your throat because he serves you deceitful meats. If you be a man of appetite, you've been of appetite. Now you have to fast from the table of the king. That doesn't mean that you can't eat at all. It means you must fast from that and learn to provide for yourselves the provisions of righteousness. Now we'll talk about that. We'll show you some of that and how that works. And how you can start this journey. We do this in all the different networks that we are setting up across the country and in other countries like Australia, and we'll set them up anywhere. We don't set them up. We show you how to set them up. It's about you taking responsibility. We're not going to do it for you. No point in that. The reason you are where you are today is that you wanted somebody else to do it for you, and you had to give them the power to do it, and now they have all kinds of power. So now you have to do it a different way. You have to take responsibility. You think, therefore you are. Now you have to do so that you are complete. Because as long as you just think, it's not going to change you. It's not going to alter you. It's not going to alter the way you are. So anyway, we know that we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we got into trouble. And we know that we're supposed to eat of the tree of life. And the tree of life, in many ways of looking at it, is equated with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit meaning life, breath, life. God breathed into Adam. He received the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed into the apostles. They received the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit. Then there was these tongues of fire. What do all these things mean? What are they referring to? Metaphors are a representation of something that is more abstract than and it's not just the metaphor itself, not the thing itself that we're looking at. So let's not look for a tree with little fruit hanging on it where you look on the fruit and it says knowledge. It's a metaphor for an idea and a concept and a way of thinking, and you have to not get too caught up in the symbol. It's what we do. We focus on the symbol and we lose the understanding. We unmoor the symbol from the truth, and we are lost in the symbols. And that is idolatry, that we begin to focus on the symbol rather than the truth itself. The truth that it's expressing, the spiritual reality that the symbol is representing. That's idolatry, and we don't want to do that. I'll give you an example. There's a thing called tefillin in the Hebrew language. It's a pair of black leather boxes containing a Hebrew parchment scroll-like rolled up in them. And it usually includes two of these little boxes, and one of them you strap on your forehead. And they strap it a little high on their head at times so it doesn't keep falling off. But anyway, they strap it on their head, and then they'll run this leather thong around their arm all the way down to their hand, and they'll have another one strapped in their hand. And they base this on Deuteronomy 6:8. And it says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between thine eyes." Of course, they usually bind them up a little higher, but if you have a frontlet, it'd be right up there in your forehead. And anyway, they also call this a phylactery. It's kind of universally used as at the present time, consists of these two leather boxes. And one is called the Shelyad or Shelzero, and the other one is Shelrash. And they're usually made of some sort of animal skin, some sort of leather, and of course it should be a what they call a clean animal. But that's the symbol. That's a symbol of an idea. I don't know if God ever intended you to make an actual little box and put a rolled up piece of scripture in there. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of this Deuteronomy and you read, or at least of that particular chapter 6, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land, whether ye go to possess it. Wherever you go to possess it, whatever land, not specifically the Holy Land, but whatever land you go to possess that land. And why are we possessing the land? Because God put us here to possess the land and to dress it and keep it. That's his first commandment. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, respect the Lord, to keep all his statutes, his ways, his commandments, his guideposts, which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days be prolonged. He goes on to say in verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Are they in your heart? He goes on in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And here in verse 8 he says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Where is the leather thong? Where is the little box with a scroll in it? And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on the gates. He's telling you to keep these in your mind and in your heart is where they got to be. Why the heart and the hand? Why the heart and the hand? Because why the head? Why do you strap it up on the head? Well, good thing you didn't tie it around your heart. I guess we could do that, you know, put a little scripture and tape it to your chest. That's the symbol. That's not what they're talking about. Do you make covenants? Do you covet your neighbor's goods? Do you desire what is your neighbor's? Do you give men power to be judges over you, rule over you, exercise authority over? Do you want to exercise authority over your neighbor? You want to rule over your brother? Well, then you're not keeping those commandments. You see, they're not in your heart. They're somewhere else. And when they talk about write them on the doorposts of your house, they were living in tents. What doorposts? The reality is they're talking about where you go in and out, how you relate to the rest of the world. Look, in Ecclesiastes 11:1, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters. How many of you go out on a regular basis, once a week, you know, once a month, and go out to the lake and throw bread on the lake? You know, just, you know, send out another chunk of Wonder Bread. Sailing across there. Tortillas. You know, they really sail out across the lake. How many of you do that? It says, cast thy bread upon their waters. Aren't you doing that? You're not following the Bible then, right? Because you're not throwing bread out on the lake. Because it doesn't have anything to do with that, and you know it doesn't. Why do you think it has anything to do with leather boxes around your forehead, and prayer cloths, and beads, and all these symbols? It has nothing to do with that. It's not about what you say, it's about what you do, because Your heart will drive what you do. It will control your hand. Your hand will do where your heart wants to go. So anyway, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It probably won't be worth much if you went out to the lake to cast your bread upon the waters, but if you're actually following the principles and precepts of God's kingdom, well, then you got a chance. In Psalms 4:4, it says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still. There's a number of places it talks about being still. They're not always the same word. Proverbs 9:17, it says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. What are they talking about? Proverbs 9:17, stolen waters are sweet? Well, let's go read 16. Whoso is simple. That word simple, what do you think that means when you see that word simple in the Bible? What word is that? I mean, when you see these things, you should want to find out. You don't need a concordance to know what is going on. But it helps to some degree. But even then, you have to depend on somebody else's definition. But that word simplicity, simple ones, is also translated foolish. But it's from a word that means entice, deceive, persuade, flatter, allure. So who is enticing, deceiving, persuading? It's the devil. If we go and we look at the rest of it, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Turn around. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But, verse 18, he knoweth not that the dead are there. Where? Where the stolen waters are sweet, and this you eat in these secret places, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So when you sit and eat with a ruler who's going to take away from your neighbor to supply you with that great banquet, it may seem pleasant, wonderful dainties, but you're going to be in hell. Now, you're going to be cut off from the knowledge of God. Psalms 4:5, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. What is he talking about? What is the sacrifice of righteousness? Offer it. Does God want you to burn up stuff? No. He wants you to take care of one another by giving to men who actually care about their neighbor as much as themselves, or willing to give up of themselves so that others may survive. You're going to need that. You're going to need that spirit in abundance. You're going to need to gather with hundreds, even thousands of people who have that spirit in their hearts. Not just written on a piece of paper stuck in a phylactery on their heads, you know, with a holier-than-thou rockin' attitude. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you. What's he talking about? If you go back to 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's that word study there in 2 Timothy? You know, did you know that it's not translated study anywhere else in the Bible? It's only translated study in that one place. It's actually normally translated endeavor, or do diligent, or be diligent, or give diligent, to make haste, to exert oneself. So when he's saying study, he doesn't mean read about it. He means to be diligent, to show thyself approved. That's what he said. I don't care what the translator said. Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a student? No, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Why? Because he's doing it, rightly dividing the word of truth. you can't even do it. That shows me you're not really saved because you don't really have faith. If you had real faith, you'd do it. I couldn't keep you from doing it because faith is the conviction that makes you act. It's all show and glow. There's no row and toe. You got to change your ways. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, as I read, and that ye study to be quiet. What's that word? Is that the word for study? No. No. That word, it's only translated study that one time. It's not what it means. It's normally translated strive or labor. It actually means to be fond of honor. To be actuated by love of honor. You got to do it. You can't keep yourself. To strive earnestly. Make it your aim. So what's your aim? And that ye strive to be quiet. Yes. Yes. You're going to try to be quiet. You won't be able to do it. And to do your own business. It's almost impossible just to mind your own business. To work with your own hands as we command you. When you try to be quiet, you're going to find out it's harder than you thought. It's much harder than you thought. It's almost impossible to be still. But it's in that quest that you come face to face with what's inside you. Because when you're still and not piling more and more frosting and garbage on top of everything that's in you, what's in you is going to come up. It's going to bubble up. It's going to be there in your mind's eye. And so this is why I'm talking about this idea of meditating or being still or quieting your mind. The goal is not to quiet your mind. The goal is to see what's already in there. And when you get quiet, I mean, you come into a room, into a house, you've been gone, and you think somebody's gotten in. You found the door unlocked. Do you go in yelling, "Hey, anybody in here?" Or do you try to be still and quiet and come in and listen? Do you hear anything? What's in there? Well, your heart's been unlocked. All kinds of garbage is in there. You hate this guy and you're mad at that guy and you resent this guy. And you go to church to cover that up. You want to go to church to uncover what's inside you. Go up into Gilead and take balm. O virgin, the daughter of Egypt, in vain shalt thou use many medicines. Thou shalt not be cured. What will cure you? What will make you whole again? If you have an infection, don't you have to clean out the wound? Clean your own house. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is the house you must clean up. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Jeremiah 33:6. God is trying to give you the gifts. A merry heart doeth good, like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So we want you to not be depressed about the fact that you have gone so far out of the way and that you have so far to go to get back into the way. We want you to know that if you be still and let God in your heart, or try to, you're going to see what's already in there. See it, admit it. Realize it. I mean, how many times you get angry? How many times you get impatient? How many times you use a curse word? Or how many times you bite your tongue because you want to, but don't? Well, it's good that you don't, but know this. Why did you want to? If you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So the fact that you wanted to say these things and you didn't, it's good you didn't, but it's not good that you wanted to say them. You can't do anything about that. You cannot change. You cannot save yourself from those feelings. But you can let yourself be changed. But you cannot do that unless you see the error that's in you that has made a home in you, see it openly and fast from following it. Fast from going that way. And what is forgiveness but fasting from judgment? We'll talk more about this when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about stillness, we're talking about health. God can't work in you if your brain is a busy street, if your heart is full of lusts and avarice. You have to still those things or desire that they be stilled. You can't even still them. You have no frame of reference to what is still. You've been in motion since you were born and shoved out of your mother's womb. You have been enticed by this and enticed by that and tempted by this and tempted by that, and the flesh pulls on you and people pull on you and anger and resentment pull on you. And how do you let go of these things? They have a hold of you. You let go of them one step at a time. For whoso findeth me findeth life. So how do you find God? And shall obtain favor of the Lord. Favor. He's got to change you. You can't change yourself. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. So when you go out of the way of God, which we call sin, as if there's some sort of tally sheet, you've already wronged your own soul. You've cut yourself off. You've gone out of the presence of God. You have to desire to go back. All they that hate me love death. Wow. Proverbs 8:35-36. It is part of the cure to want to be cured. That's what Seneca says. Do you want to be cured? And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to his physicians. Now, am I telling you not to go to doctors? No, I'm saying go to the Lord first. Even if you're going to go to the doctor, go to the Lord first. Find out, what's this all about? Why am I weak in this place that disease may get a hold of me? Why have I drawn this disease to me? Is there goodness to come from this? Am I to learn something from this? Is there something I'm missing that allows this? I mean, what is pain but a notification? It's trying to awaken you to something. I always tell people, follow the pain. Seek out the pain. Feel the pain. Accept the pain. Accept it generously and kindly. It's a gift. Pain is a gift. Doesn't seem like that at the time. But if you didn't have any pain, you wouldn't know that you were bleeding to death because you sat on a knife. You need the pain to tell you something's wrong. If you're sick, something's wrong. You probably don't need to get sick to know that something's wrong, but it's telling you something. Follow it. And sometimes you'll see that the pain moves. As you go to it and accept it patiently, it will go someplace else. Follow it. Follow it. Find out what is causing this. What is bringing this about? Don't be judgmental of yourself. Don't condemn yourself. This is a gift. Use it wisely. If my people which are called by my name. Now that isn't people who just say, oh, I'm a Christian. Or I'm a Jehovah Witness or whatever. If my people are called by my name, that means have my character. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways. You got to turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear them from heaven and will forgive them their sins and will heal their land. But you got to turn from your wicked ways. What are your wicked ways? Making a covenant on a regular basis. Now, the ones you already made, you can't just undo necessarily. But making covenants, stop making future ones, and start preparing a life and a way before you where you don't have to. But more important, turn from your wicked ways, your covetous ways. It's through covetousness that you've been brought into bondage. It's not by rulers and kings and presidents and prime ministers and parliaments and legislatures. It's your covetousness, which is pervasive in the land, and there is no going back. There is only repentance. God will bring you back in time, but first you have to turn from your wicked ways. If you have been brought into bondage because you desired your neighbor's goods and you pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercised authority one over the other, contrary to the words of Christ, then the way to get back is to start taking care of one another. You cannot do that unless you get organized. You have to organize yourself because we're not dictators. We can't organize you. We can't tell you come here and go there and stand here and stand there and say this and say that and believe this and believe that. You've got to figure that out and you've got to do it. You got to form that congregation of record, recorded elders who connect with other people, not because of what they're going to get, but because the opportunity may come that they may give, so that they may be given unto, so that they may forgive, so that they may be forgiven. Because when you've turned from your wicked ways, then God will forgive your sins. But you have to forgive others. Look at the man who was in debt, who was forgiven his debt, but then went out and did not forgive others. And he was thrown into a dungeon. So how do you figure on getting forgiven if you don't forgive others? Oh, I probably didn't forgive it. You're so far from it, but somebody's got to start taking some steps down the path to the kingdom. The more that walk this way, the better the trodden path will appear. But when Jesus heard, it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." Psalms 41:4. That's your attitude. Write it down. Exodus, you don't put it in a scripture in a leather box and wrap it around your head. Write it in your heart. Do you have that humble, merciful attitude? Are you merciful for others? Because if you're not, you're not going to get mercy from God. Exodus 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Well, new Egyptians are around. Now you need to stand still and trust in the Lord. That doesn't mean do nothing. It means learn to listen. Listen to the ways of the Lord. If we go down to Ephesians 6:11, we see, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In other words, the deception of the devil. So what is that whole armor of God? What do you have to forgive, and you have to give, and you have to do it on a regular basis, and you have to fast, and you have to pray. Prayer is humility. Fasting means don't keep going the easy route. Don't keep looking for all the distractions. It isn't about just going without food. I've seen people hurt themselves by fasting for 40 days. During that time, they didn't fast from some of the very things they really needed to fast from. They tempted the Lord, "I'm not going to eat anything until you reveal to me the la 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 la." Who's God here, you or him? Now, know this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's not flesh and blood we need to starve. That's what he goes on to say in Ephesians 6:12. "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places," even in the high places of our own mind. Are we coveting? Are we judgmental? Are we authoritarian? Who is ruling in our hearts? Anger, ambition, judgment? "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded up with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness." So does that mean that we're supposed to write on our underwear scripture? So that our loins will be girded up with truth? Put your phylacteries away. Stop the wobbling at the Wailing Wall. Stop, making your signs when you go into church and all your bowing and singing. I mean, go ahead and do those things, but start realizing that you have unmoored the spiritual essence of God's Spirit from what you should really be doing. Going to church? You are church. You are the stones of the church. Be the church. Stop thinking it's a building or a group or a corporation that you want to belong to. I'm going to be cast out of the church. You can't be cast out of the church by men. It's God's church. How do they have a right to cast you out? Now, they may disfellowship you and say, we don't want to have anything to do with you. But if they do it because you're doing righteousness, then they are the ones that are cast out. People used to tell me, you know, a theologian, Jewish theologian, said that Christianity is an offshoot of Judaism. No, Judaism is an offshoot of Christianity. Christianity is the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ was king. He appointed his kingdom to these people. Jesus was the new Moses, both priest and king. He and Moses were in agreement. The Pharisees were neither in agreement with Moses nor with Jesus. A lot of people want to say, well, the church is over here and Israel is over here. No, they are the same. Israel is the place where God prevails. Where does he prevail? In your hearts and in your minds. What is Jerusalem? Double peace. What do they mean by double peace? In your heart and in your mind. In your heart, why your heart? Because your heart, you know, it's, we talk about it as if it's the source of compassion. It's the source of the blood. With that, your heart stops, your hand stops. Your hand goes because your heart is going. That's the way it works. That's the double peace. When both your mind and your actions are going in the ways of God, and you have put away the ways of iniquity. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness doesn't have anything to do with brass or silver or iron. Those are things. Don't unmoor the truth from the things, and the things from the truth. Bind yourself with the truth. Acts 16:16. And it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the ways of salvation. The way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Great disappointment. Somebody's going to try to sue him for that. But the reality is that you are not living in the Spirit if you're living in the things, in the symbols. I don't care if you have your symbols. They have no power from my point of view. From a spiritual point of view, they have no power. That's all idolatry. All your symbols, your buildings, your, you don't have to have a statue to have an idol. You can play idolatry with a piece of paper. Accordingly, seeing that our sense sometimes deceive us. Our senses sometimes deceive us. That was Descartes, which we were talking about earlier. We need to repent of the ways of unrighteousness. We cannot do that of our own. We need to be changed. We need to go another route. We need to see things with new eyes. The Essenes, the ancient Israelites, they all did meditation, but do they know what they were doing? Did they? Some did. But when we write these things down, we are easily confused, because it is like telling somebody to draw a map on the phone. And you're saying, well, now you draw down to the left a little bit, and then kind of a squiggly line going south, and then for about an inch, and then you try that sometime. Describe a map to somebody on the phone and tell them how to draw it and see what you get. Because that's what we're doing with the Bible. The only way you're going to know, flesh and blood does not reveal this. Studying. You know, that it was so interesting to me to discover that two of the words that, where they tell us to study in the Bible are not the words for study. Like, the answer is to study. Now, I'm not against studying, but what they were saying, what the author was saying, was be diligent in what you do. So when you be still, when you practice being still and you see these things welling up inside you, this false information welling up inside you, the lies, the anger, the resentments, the fears, the anxieties welling up inside you in whatever form they come up, the tension, the nervousness, the nausea, whatever you see it and let go of it. Know that came from somewhere. You can wonder about it, but let it go. That's cleaning out. You know, if you go in to clean out a big deal and every piece of trash you sweep up, you have to go through it and look at both sides and just sweep it up. Put it in the can. Get it out in the dumpster. Clean up the house. That's what meditating. See fast from deciding this is right and this is wrong and I should do this and I should do that and so-and-so said this and I should say this. Fast from that. Be still. See what is already in there until it gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. You will not clean it. Forgiveness and being forgiving will help clean it. And you will let it go. Let it go in the name of Jesus. Let it go. But then get up and go out in the world and become a doer of the word. And what does that look like? Gather together. Do not forsake the gathering. Gather together. Why? To save yourself? No, to save others. Now you're doing it in the name of Christ, in the character of Christ. Because he did not come to save himself. He came to save others. You must gather together. You must come to the meeting of the church. And being the stone of that church, you must come to save others. And you will not want to do that unless you forgive others. So you have to forgive and you have to give. And you have to give righteously in a way that strengthens the poor. Robert Sutley said, "Order is the sanity of the mind, the health of the body, the peace of the city, the security of the state. As the beams to a house, as the bones to the microcosm of man, so is order to all things. God is orderly. God is organized. And if God is in you, you should be organized." You mention organized religion and people immediately go like bonkers. "Oh, I don't have anything to do with organized religion." That's not really what you're saying. You don't even know what you're saying. You're identifying the word organized with something. And you hate that something. Well, first thing to do is forgive it. Now, let me tell you what it is that you hate. The term organized religion conjures up the vision of men coming down from the top telling you what you can believe and what you can do and what you can't do and that you have to conform to them and they're trying to rule over you, your heart and your mind. I don't believe in that organized religion. I believe in the organized religion where God is working in your heart. And the dry bones of your society come together freely. And you come on those dry bones as flesh and blood freely. Not organized from the top down, but organized from the breath of God in you outwardly. That is the kingdom. The Essene was labeled as a healer and doctor. And people say they don't mention Essenes anywhere in the Bible, but they actually mention healers. And the word Essene is not the name of the Essenes. They didn't even call themselves Essenes. It's a name we've put on them since, and nobody even knows where it came from. There's over 60 different conclusions as to where the word came from, including from a Hebrew word meaning queen bee. What did it come from? Well, the most common consensus is healer, and there are healers mentioned in the Bible. They sought the natural herbs, these Essenes did. They used the oils that came out of Egypt to help heal people. But the key thing is that they were helping heal people. They were tending to the needs of one another. They were the most philanthropic group at that time, the most popular group at that time, the most self-sustaining group at that time. And they were also very unorganized in one sense, but yet very organized in another. Unorganized, there was no top-down homogeneous guy putting his stamp on approval on what is a scene and what is not a scene. But yet there were similarities in what they were doing in almost every area of the world. Because they were all over. They weren't just in Judea. But when people talk about them, they say, oh, well, they like to wash a lot. Have no idea what they were doing. The fact is, most of the early Christians in Judea were probably Essenes or related to the Essene community. They lived by faith, hope, and charity. They wouldn't have anything to do with the animal sacrifices because they said that the Pharisees had misinterpreted the words of the Torah. They read the same Torah, but they came to a completely different conclusion about many things. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Full of symbolism there. But the people were in captivity again. They had received the bondage of Egypt by taking the baptism of Herod, and they had gone back into a social welfare scheme they called Corban, but their Corban made the word of God to none effect. Same thing in every single country in the world today. They have a system of Corban, a system of sacrifice to take care of the needy of their society, and they must give in what their masters tell them to give in, and their masters tell them how it will be distributed, and they give to the sinner as much, if not more, than to the faithful. As a matter of fact, I have seen cases where two men under exact same conditions both went down to get unemployment. One received it and one was refused. Exact same situation in both of them. As a matter of fact, the two men were actually brothers, had worked at the same place, and were now doing the same exact thing. Same exact condition, but they went to different people. But the same administration. One was refused, and the other one is getting $500 a week for unemployment. And the one who was refused had paid in longer and paid in more. But you see, their system is chaos. Their system is not based on righteousness. Their God is the rule book, and they're not even faithful to the rule book. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is where we need to be, folks, seeking that kingdom of God and His righteousness. There's so many things I would like to share with you. But you're going to have to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We don't put everything on the net. We've got enough books for you to read there. We've got hundreds of articles. We've got audios coming out our ears. We've got videos you can watch. We got a network that reaches from Australia to the United States. But you need to step out and become a doer. There are so many things we would like to do, but we need the means by which to do them. We are still dry bones. We are connecting together, but you must come so that we have someone to serve who is also worthy of that service. We are casting our bread upon the waters in hopes that someday it may come back unto us. But we haven't gone down and done this at the lake because we know the difference between a symbol and the Spirit of God. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house. And may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.com. www.hisholychurch.net.